then the bond rating, which incorporates the independent audit. Two separate groups saying we're accounting the way we're supposed to.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. People may still differ on choices of how we've chosen to spend the money,
Exactly.
but we're accounting for it properly.
Correct.
Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. There was a town council meeting last night, and today's Thursday morning, so we're going to do our council quarterbacking with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer. Tom, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Steve. It's great to be back with you again. A couple of weeks in a row here, just because of schedules and so forth. But it's all good. We had a good meeting last night, and a lot on the agenda, a lot coming up. So quite a bit to talk about.
Yeah, there is. And it was what, 2 3/4 hours last night? So for the listeners, the newbies, come and welcome. Thank you for joining us. And for the regulars, you know, we're going to go through, but for the newbies, we'll just recap that. Yeah, what just happened? And what does it mean for us Franklin residents and taxpayers? And then we'll kind of condense that 2 3/4 hour meeting, almost 3 hour meeting, down to about 30 minutes or so. And yes, that's what we're about to do. So, in your announcements, you had a brief visit as well from our town clerk Nancy Danilo and school committee chair Dave Callahan.
As I think I stated last week, I've kind of moved them into announcements from the chair under that category, just to allow them the time necessary for them to give the updates, Nancy, in regards to voting and all of the things associated with that, and Dave Callahan giving coming, and I appreciate it very much that he is coming to council meeting and just giving a 2 or 3 minute update as to what's going on with the schools, because as I've stated, the school committee TV audience is a little bit different than the town council audience, and at least this gives a little of an update to the town council audience. And plus, it helps with the counselors
Sure.
who may or may not have a chance to listen in to a school committee meeting. They can get an update from Dave as to what's going on, where. What are the things they're working on, what's coming up, and so forth. So I appreciate both of them coming in and giving us updates and trying to keep the community as best informed as we can.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and we're going to get into some of that. But you started again with a happy time with the police recognizing, if I recall correctly, this is kind of the fourth of their fifth replacements. So the
Yes.
swearing in of the officer, and then a unique recognition where we recognized another town's police chief.
Exactly. Now, something that doesn't happen too often, for sure. But we were fortunate last night to have Taya Housley come in, who was sworn in last night as a new police patrolman. And again, not new. He's new as an individual, but it's not a new position.
Right.
It's
A backfill.
existing positions that through retirements or people transferring out, but these are replacement positions filled by a new individual.
Correct.
So it was nice to have Tyler come in last night and get sworn in, and it's always good to have the police office, the rank and file. There were 15 police officers, as well as our two support animals that came to the council meeting. Ben Franklin and Frankie both were there last night, in support of Tyler being sworn in, as well as we, as you alluded to, we had an opportunity to recognize the chief of police from Upton, who just took over that job. And he's a former sergeant for the Franklin Police Department. And it was great to recognize Nick Palmieri and congratulate him on getting his new position as chief of the Upton Fire Department. Nick actually started in Upton, came to Franklin, and now is returning to Upton as their police chief. So congratulations to Nick and thanking him for his service to the Franklin community.
Yeah, he spent what, 8, 9 years here and certainly moved up through the ranks, et cetera. I think it speaks well to the quality of the people in both cases. Clearly, he moved well enough here and then went back to Upton and becomes the chief. And Tyler coming in, and I forget exactly where he came in from, not necessarily material, but he's already coming in with a Award of Valor for life-saving actions in his short duty.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a obviously a wonderful thing. So
Yeah.
good things, and always enjoy having them come in. It's something I started a bunch of years ago, bringing in the police and fire new employees, and having the swearing-in ceremony in front of the town council, so our residents can sometimes put a face to a uniform.
Sure. There we may see them at some point in time. So,
Yes.
yes. And then you get into your reg other business with a public hearing, and Murchie, who had submitted a license application and then withdrew it. We weren't sure why, and the story got shortened a little bit, but at least got explained as to what happened. And ultimately, you did approve this second pass on their license.
Yeah, exactly. And it's Mirshi, which is the Indian restaurant in the center of town, the corner of Cottage and East Central. So it was on our agenda, I don't know, last month
Yeah, a
or
couple of months ago,
roughly a
yeah.
month ago, and was pulled off the agenda because there was some paperwork with the ABC that they hadn't completed, as it was explained to us last night by their attorney, as well as the manager, Karan Goswami, who is the manager of the restaurant and listed as for the all alcohol beverage license. So it, we did get an update. He comes from everybody being TIP certified, all of the stuff that's required of a restaurant having all alcohol license. And that location has had alcohol licenses in the past.
Sure.
And for one reason or another, this one, they had not chose to when they opened, but they, I guess, have realized that people, a lot of people coming in, Eric, because there was an all alcohol license there before, are coming in expecting to be able to get a glass of wine with dinner. And then so they realized they really should have that, so they applied and was granted by us last night after a public hearing.
And then you had the public hearing on the floodplain district, which, yeah, floodplain district. We do have that, and that's part of the federal requirements that we need to declare. And I guess there was an update that was due, so now this is being put through the process to make sure we're checked the box appropriately and we're covered.
Exactly. And again, this is something we obviously have to do and need to do in a timely manner. We're probably a little later than we should have been with this, but for one reason or another, Got put on a back burner, and then we realized that we needed to get this done. So we put it, I had Jamie put it on this agenda last night for public hearing and a first reading. So we'll later on in the month at our next meeting, we will vote it into law, so to speak, and then we'll be covered.
Yeah,
So
submit it back to the feds and we'll be all
yeah.
set. Yep. Another minor matter in regards to a license transaction, change of owner manager, excuse me, just change of manager for
Manager.
the license for the
Right,
chateau.
at the
Right.
chateau. And this is something that is quite common with restaurants. Managers change over a period of time, and they're required to, when there is a change of manager, obviously the individual has to, we have to change the license, and that requires a modification to the license, which is something that we do quite frequently. And last night was just happened to be one for the Chateau, which is up on King Street. So
Part of your ABCC local duties.
yes,
Yep.
exactly.
And then the interesting piece, and certainly of impact for a number of fronts, but the financial audit report for FY24 was completed, and we got another clean one. And then during the course of that, and I'll let you give Jamie's 30-second update, we got some good news too.
Absolutely. And Scott McIntyre, who is the auditor that we've used, and he presented from CBIZ, which is CBIZ, they're CPAs. They've been a different iteration over the years, but a firm gets bought out by another firm, gets bought out by another firm.
Right.
So things change over time, but we did get a clean audit report last night from Scott. That report is on the agenda from last night, but it is also on the town website, which you're able to get to. And I know Franklin Matters will have it on their website as
Right.
well. For those who would like a 64-page read, please, there's a lot of good information in there.
Absolutely.
It's diving deep into the weeds for sure, but the bottom line is, financially speaking, we're doing a very good job with our local finances, and it was a clean audit. That was given to presented to the council last night. And as well as part of that, and probably it's something I know you will smile when I start to say it, because it's something that's very important to me. It always has been, and it's important to the community. And I think it's one of the most important things we can have, which is a AAA bond rating. And yesterday it came through that we are once again a AAA bond rating rated community, which opens many doors for us when it comes to bonding capital projects. It gives us a lending capacity that or an interest, the lowest possible interest rate
Right.
that municipalities can get. So this is something that is so key to any community. And I always raise my hands and get very excited when we get that information, because I know how important it is to have that triple bond rating. And Jamie announced it during the audit report last night. So very, very happy about that. And our community should be very happy about that, because it says we are doing things right. We are financially responsible. We're looking, they look at many different things to come up with that rating. And There's maybe 20 to 25% of the municipalities in the state that have a triple bond rating, and we are in that class. And it's a pretty, it's a pr really good place to be. So very happy, as you can tell.
Oh, I was quite happy too, and I went out of my way because I knew we were going to do this virtually, and I wanted to shake your hand as well as I shook Jamie's hand and Amy's hand, because
Yeah.
this is a significant accomplishment.
It certainly is.
And in terms of what does it mean to us, to reinforce your point, and I think Jamie used the example of the Beaver Street Interceptor. So we got that and started, what, a couple of years ago at a 1.5% interest rate because we had AAA. If we were out today, even with the market rates being higher, we would be getting it at 4. But that 2.5% over what, 20, 30 years, that adds up. That's
It certainly
significant
does.
dollars.
That's exactly right. And when you look at the different projects we've had over the years, be it the high school, be it the senior center, be it the fire station, the DPW barn, all of these different capital projects, to have the AAA bond rating when you go out to bond these projects is such an important piece. Because you get that the best interest rate available to municipalities. So.
Yeah, and to reinforce, I think there was a couple of comments, questions around. So it was a new audit team while the company had gone through, and I think Melanson was when Scott was here. He was, but he had already announced they were going to be part of Marcom, if I recall correctly. And then in last November, Marcom got purchased by the CBIZ. So it was kind of the Pac-Man boom, boom, boom.
Exactly. It's like bing, bang, boom. But
Right.
as you just alluded to, one of the things that Scott brought up, because a question was asked, and it was entirely, other than Scott himself, it was an entirely new team that came in to do this year's audit for the town of Franklin. So it does change up over the years. Annually. Sometimes one or two can be the same. Other times, as was this year, it was an entirely new team other than Scott himself.
Yeah, and that's part of the overall independent audit process where he alluded that, they generally rotate the teams to provide that independence. So you're not having the relationship. Clearly, you need something of a relationship, but to have the people that are in the weeds, so to speak, going through the checks and the balances, the debits and the credits, to check the process, to do the audits. And on two hands, one, they had a new team to coming in. Two, they also complimented us on the coordination, the cooperation, and then just the accuracy of what they were finding. So that is supposed to help us overall because clearly we've seen some folks in the community saying, well, we can't trust their accounting. Well, excuse us. At this point, we've got both the independent audit and then the bond rating, which incorporates the independent audit. Two separate groups saying we're accounting the way we're supposed to.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. People may still differ on choices of how we've chosen to spend the money,
Exactly.
but we're accounting for it properly.
Correct.
And then you got into your legislation for action. So there was a time period for the Franklin Ridge product that was going to come up for an expiration, and you gladly rolled it over.
Exactly. And it's something that we needed to make sure that we had in place. We weren't real close, but we were close enough so that we wanted to make sure we fell into the right time frame for that reverter that's in the deed for the Panther Way project from the Franklin Municipal Affordable Trust. So,
And effectively, that was a guarantee to the town to the extent that while they deeded the property, if the property development did not proceed accordingly, then the town could pull it back.
pull it back. Exactly. And
And clearly,
this
they're
could
making progress. Obviously, a
We
little bit
are
delayed.
making progress, and more progress in the last 6 or 8 months than we anticipated,
Right.
as far as time frame goes. So
Sure.
things are moving pretty good. We like to keep them going in that direction, but we need to cover our bases as well and make sure that we covered the time frame. So we just rolled it over, as you alluded to.
Yep. And then another bylaw amendment, which is really more the second reading. We've talked about it at length here before, but the commercial shared use of commercial kitchens is now within the 10 days of review period. It's going to be a law for us, so we can enable that.
Exactly. We voted last night was the second reading for those bylaws, and it passed unanimously by the council last night. So, as you said, barring anything in the next 10 days, it will become law, and people that are interested in doing this, bringing one of these forward, we're ready.
Yeah.
And there's been multiple inquiries about
And that's the
having
key
these
piece.
commercial.
That's the key piece, because there was speculation. Well, is somebody actually going to use it? And we don't know exactly which side of that, because we've talked certainly a commercial operation could share their kitchen, or somebody could come in and create a shared kitchen operation. So the two sides, but at least there's interest.
Yes,
That's key.
exactly. Yep.
Yep. And then town administrator had some highlights. One in particular, we've already talked a little bit, the May 21 and 22 are your budget hearings for the council. He updated as well that the 22nd hearing is going to get carried forward. So all the votes that you would make normally at this end of the hearing are going to get postponed, or continued is the technical term, to
Yes.
June 4th, because, oh, by the way, June 3rd, we'll know what the results are from the override.
Exactly. And we'll know whether we are moving forward with the budget as presented, or whether if the override were to fail, we would have to make cuts, the cuts that we have talked about
Not happy
over the
ones.
last 9 months during the listening and all the joint budget subcommittee meetings and so forth. And we will talk again on the 21st and the 22nd. So that will, we've decided that the right way to do this is to proceed based upon the override passing, continuing the current level of services being provided to the residents. And then if we need to make adjustments, adjustments would be made on the 4th.
Right.
So,
And
and the public hearing on the 22nd, as you alluded to, would be less. There would be less for us to do there. But the town administrator also, during his report, spoke about how we might have a discussion about building as part of that second night's budget discussion, and explaining the where and wherefore art thous are as far as construction versus, the override, the impacts one has on the other. Obviously, every dollar that comes in or every dollar that gets spent does have an impact in the future budget, but not currently on the FY26.
Correct. Yeah, and that discussion, I think, will be helpful. Clearly, there's some misunderstanding or misguided attention around not passing the override because they're not listening to us, or is the word that they're not listening to us in terms of building, and that's far from the case. Clearly, from my reporting view, that you are listening. They may not like what you're doing, but that's a different story.
That's exactly right. And we are listening, and we do hear how the community's feeling about these different things, excuse me, about construction and so forth. And it's something that we will be addressing as we move forward, for sure.
Agreed. And unfortunately, or to reinforce the point that no, and I think Councillor Hamblin said it well, that when you try to do a get like that, it unfortunately has a bounce back effect, and trying to get back at them them meaning you in this case, the repercussions are really going to be when you start finding the 3.8 million to cut in the budget, that cuts across all the services that affect all the people. That's not a happy thing you're going to have to do if it doesn't pass.
That is correct. That is correct, Steve. So, all I can say in closing this session, I would just say that please, I ask the residents to go to the website, go to the town website, go to the override link on the website. You find all the information, and I just you read, and if you do have questions, ask the questions. So when June 3rd comes, you are able to make an inf well-informed vote or decision as to whether to vote in favor of the override or not. But it's a town-wide structural deficit of $3.86 million, and that's if you're comfortable with the current level of services, then a positive vote in the override is the right thing to do. If you're not, then and I totally understand that nobody wants to pay another dollar in taxes. I
True.
get that. We certainly don't as councillors either. But reality is we've come accustomed to the current level of services, and I think as the police chief has mentioned, he's back to levels of 2002, just getting back to that level of patrolmen and police officers. And we've had a reorg, he's redone his schedules a few years ago to allow us to get back to the saving money within his budget to help us get back to that level. The reorganization in fire department, very similar. They've done thing the third ambulance. To lose that third ambulance, I think is a huge issue. Certainly. And then obviously the schools would take the biggest hit because they're the biggest part of the budget, unfortunately. And the cuts that would have to be made there are close to $2 million. It's certainly something that the community will feel if it does, if it fails.
Right, I agree. And just to reinforce that point, 3 million of the 3.8, we created the whole based on the actions coming out of last year's override. So in the course of the year, it's only grown 0.8 million, which I think goes back to the continued focus on staying within the budget, stay within the means, and certainly recognizing the school district, their redistricting saved an additional, what, three something.
Three.
Otherwise, we would be looking at a bigger hole going into this particular override.
Without question, without question. Your elected community leaders are certainly doing their due diligence. It's not an easy job for sure,
No.
but it's one we signed up for,
Right.
and we do it. I know every single person that is out there doing the best job they can do, and in thinking and making votes, what is, in their opinion, is in the best interest of 33,000, 34,000 people. And that's how we need to move forward. So,
Right. Well, thank you again for taking time. Thank you again for doing what you do. Congratulations again on the AAA. That's a
thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
great piece to close with. And thank you, listeners, for listening. Stay tuned. If you do have any questions, as Tom alluded to, certainly feel free to reach out to anybody from the town administration, school administration, town council, school committee. People will provide the answers. If you need to reach me, by all means, I'll provide you at least the guidance as to go here or there to get the right answers. And a final reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.